Yes, it is time to place another book up on the teeming Hard Shoulder bookshelf. Nevin Maguire is with me, the TV chef and the owner of McNean House and Restaurant, of course. Nevin, it's good to see you.
How are you, Karen? You're
I'm not
great.
Too bad. Thanks very much. How are you?
You look very tanned. So
well, it was good weather at the weekend, and we were in the sunny southeast yesterday for the show. We were down in Wexford, so we had great, great weather. We were actually in Green Acres. I don't know if you've ever been in it. Lovely restaurant.
Fantastic.
Right in the middle of town. Brilliant, brilliant place. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. Was this difficult when we asked you to pick a single book?
Well, it was because, first of all, food and cooking is my life. And I don't read an awful lot. It's kind of like chef's autobiographies. I read a lot. Cookbooks. Like, I have hundreds, if not thousands, of cookbooks. And this is my first one I'm going to talk to you a little bit about. So it was definitely very hard to narrow it down. Yeah, it definitely was.
So we've got Marco Pierre White's White Heat. This was your first cookbook.
This is my twin brother was in college in Limerick, and he gave me this as a gift, and I still have it. It's in perfect nick. I got
yes,
huge inspiration.
I'll be very careful with it.
Marco Pierre White was the first UK chef to get 3 Michelin stars, and I got the pleasure of meeting him about a month or two before he had his third star, or got his third star. And he was like a big rugby player. I went there for my 21st birthday for lunch, and I still remember what I had: calf's liver, I had sauteed scallops, and I had a souffle. I still remember it. And he was just so gracious to me. He says, "Come here, young man," he says to me. And then I told him I got his book, and the rest is history. So he's just,
brilliant.
Is when he was in Harvey's, when he uses 2 Michelin stars. Because, you know, for me, there's stories in it, but also there's beautiful recipes and beautiful, and you eat your eyes. When you look at a cookbook, like, look at that. His style for me doesn't date him. I mean, like, he's just always been inspiration.
Yeah, it's a great looking book, it has to be said, even on the outside.
Rock star, isn't he?
Yeah, he really has that rock star. Almost got a Paolo Maldini or something he looks like
exactly.
On the front cover. Can you remember how impressed you remember exactly what you ate? Can you remember what it tasted like? What your reaction was when you ate it?
It was incredible. I mean, the service was so kind of like friendly, warm. And when they heard I was a young trainee chef, they brought me into the kitchen. They gave me an extra course. I was in cloud nine.
Yeah,
I was. And he was just such a nice man. He obviously was very focused to get his third star. That was his goal. He had 2 stars in Harvey's, where that book originated from. And he'd worked with them all, Raymond Blanc. He'd worked with, you know, the Roux brothers. I mean, he was the rock star. He really was. And still is. And to me, he's just always been an inspiration. People used to laugh. I used to go to bed with this book and read it, I swear to God.
Really?
I'm not lying.
You'd actually read in bed.
Yeah,
reading, like,
look at it and write down and try and recreate some of the dishes. And
yeah,
not to his standard, but it was inspirational. And you see, when you get a cookbook, I don't like cookbooks that don't have pictures. Pictures is where, like, there's a brilliant book here, Books for Cooks, and it's a bookstore in Notting Hill. I used to go over there and get so many books, but there's not a picture in it. But there's loads of beautiful recipes. Whereas Marco there, you can see the beautiful food that he's done and the way he kind of like designs it and plates it up, and that's what I find.
How do you go from 2 to 3 Michelin stars? You know the way if someone's getting a sainthood, they're going from beatification, whatever it is, to canonization, or the other way around. And there's very clear criteria.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, perform a certain amount of miracles. Like, what are the miracles in the kitchen you need to
perform?
I'd say
a big part of it is about, obviously it's consistency, but it's about service. I mean, I don't have any Michelin stars. I have 4 Michelin tires, which I'm very happy about. I don't want any Michelin stars, but it was the holy grail for him. He had 2 stars, and he'd worked in a lot of 2-3 Michelin stars, so he wanted to be the first UK chef, and he supposed sacrificed everything. His marriage broke up, and, you know, and he separated, and I suppose it was so focused on getting the third star. It's about service, it's obviously about the food, and it's about the decor, the whole thing. It really is about the package. It was in the Hyde Park Hotel where he got his third star, and it was just really.
And when you were a trainee chef, did you realise all that at the time, or is that something you learned, that it's more than just what I can plate up here? It's about this entire experience.
Really good question, because when I was 21, probably time I actually got that book, or we were younger when I got that book, but when I went to eat in his restaurant, it was all about the food, but it's only one part of it. It's about the service, it's about the decor, it's about the ambience. It really is about the whole package, you know, nowadays. And like what we try and recreate in Black Lion is the whole guest experience. We'll never probably have a Michelin star, but we create lovely dishes and lovely food. I think our customers are happy.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, when people are talking about where they've been for their dinner, out for a night out or whatever, they'll talk about all those things.
Yeah, they will.
You know, and it doesn't matter how good the food is, if the place is kind of miserable and the service is poor, they're not going to go back.
And if it's a bad atmosphere and the service is kind of like they're not friendly and warm, That means an awful lot.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, like in Ireland, we have the best kid, Mina Falcha. This is another chef I worked with.
Okay.
The only woman to win the best cook in the world, Leah Leinster. And this is a favourite. She gave me this when I worked with her. So I worked with her when I was 21. And then I never took a holiday until I met my wife. You've opened the page that won her the best cook in the world.
The Saddle of Lamb.
And Kieran, it's Irish lamb she used.
Oh,
when
really?
When I went there, yeah, Irish lamb, and she used Irish butter, and she used Irish beef, and she was incredible. Now, when she lost it in the kitchen, she would make Gordon Ramsay look like a pussycat.
Oh, really?
She was tough.
Oh, wow, okay.
But I loved her, and she was very good to me, and she came over and stayed in my house in Black Lion, and she couldn't get over, Kieran, the flavour of the milk, the cream, the butter, our dairy. She has two Michelin stars now. She has a bakery. I have another page mark just to show you the Madeleines, which are most famous. I think it's down near the back there somewhere. You can
click
through it. I have it marked there. Madeleines, and it's made with brown butter. I don't know where I put it. It's there in the summer. But she was brilliant. And I was with her, one Michelin star. Sorry, these are all making me hungry too.
Oh, there we are. Look.
There we go. Brown butter Madeleines. So we try and recreate them in the cookery school. But she was an amazing lady. Spoke four or five different languages. Self-taught chef. Pretty impressive lady now, you know. And as I say, I went to work for her for 3 months, and then I used to go and work in a week. A week, when you go on a stage, you go, and hopefully you get fed, obviously. You're very lucky if you get accommodation, but you're there to learn. So that was my role with her.
When you were travelling around, say when you went into Marco Pierre White's kitchen, you're only in your early 20s at that stage, and you're a trainee chef,
yes.
Or when you're in Leah Leinster's and you're working with her, what was the attitude? She obviously had a very high regard for Irish ingredients with Irish lamb at the time in that. What was the attitude of the, I guess, the culinary tradition you were coming out of from in Ireland at that time?
Yeah, I suppose we were kind of, when I was in college, it was kind of like French cuisine. We were thought, you know, all the mirepoix, brewers, all the kind of French terminology. That's what her kitchen would have been. Luxembourg, a little bit of German. It was not unlike Black Lion. It was a small little village, about maybe 20 minutes, half an hour outside Luxembourg. So it was a very well-to-do clientele. We'd done lunch and dinner, and just her food was absolutely superb. So I worked in the fish and the meat. She used to give me so many bollockins. I remember once I was cooking
really?
Apples.
Really? For what? What did you do?
I was doing apples. It was done with a foie gras dish, and instead of putting sugar, I put salt.
Oh, you didn't?
It did a poison.
Salted apples.
Yeah, I know. Not just once, but twice. And she devoured me. And, you know, I wanted to go up to the room and cry, I swear to God, but it's how you learn. But I also learned something from a lady like that, that you don't lose it in the kitchen. It's, if you make a mistake, you learn from it and it makes you better, to be honest with you. But she's been one of the best influences in my life, and she's a great lady. When I went over and recorded to her, you know, she's your mentor, you're recording with her.
Yeah.
I was so nervous and excited, but she was an incredible lady. And as I said, the only woman ever to win the best cook in the world.
And tell me, how long did it take you in your own career to get to the point where you are confident enough to pick up Marco Pierre White's book or Leah Leinster's book, open a menu, look at it and go, you know what? I'm going to change that. I'd do something a bit different here.
I like that because you get inspiration. You don't want to copy.
Yeah.
You get inspiration. You want to put your own little twist. And that's even when you go out for dinner and different things like that. You want to kind of put your own little stamp. And like your customers will tell you, when you do a new dish, they'll tell you what works.
Yeah.
This is another book that I bought in, Gourmet Ireland. And I'm sorry, I lost the front cover. But Paul Rankin, I mean, this man, he was one of the first on TV. And Jenny Rankin, his wife, she was Canadian. She was a brilliant pastry chef. So I used to go in there when I was in college. I'd work from 9 until 10:30 at night.
Mm.
It was my first professional kitchen to work in. And it was a tough kitchen. He made this girl cry every night in the kitchen, and I said, this is so bananas. But as a chef, he had one Michelin star. He was the first in Northern Ireland. And I got my eyes open. You know what my jobs were there, Kieran?
What were they?
Sawing bones for beef stock, making or scrubbing the cooker tops, doing all the vegetables, the preparation, emptying the bins. I didn't cook a thing for 3 months.
No.
And then, yeah, And then I asked him for a reference, and he said, who do you think you are, Nev, and you're never going to make it as a chef?
He said, did he say that? And why did he say that?
Well, I kind of proved him wrong, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
I don't know. He mightn't have seen, maybe. I bought this other one for the ingredients. You love this.
Yes.
And I remember, I got my own copy, but I remember when I was training in the skillet, and I used to go in and look up, and it just is a photograph of every single type of pasta, salt.
Oh, look at it, yeah.
There's no recipes in it, but it's all about ingredients, which is really interesting because that is what good food starts. If you start off with the right ingredients, and you know, Kieran, we're so lucky in Ireland, we have some of the best food in the world, as we know.
Mm.
But there's so many different cheeses and look at all the
different
eggs.
The eggs.
I know. it's just a really, really brilliant book. I think I might have bought that online, or I might have got that in Books for Cooks.
Yeah.
We used to go over there. What we used to do, Kieran, was kind of save our tips, the chefs, and we go for 1 or 2 days either to London or to Rome or to Barcelona. We didn't sleep in 5-star. We slept in a Travelodge, but we went to some of the best restaurants. And that's how we learned, because for me, you never stop learning about food. Like, it's been exceptionally good to me, the hospitality industry and food. But it's not just an amazing
isn't
food.
It the dried fish is incredible as well, yeah,
beautifully just simply shot, just very clean, all the different seaweeds, the vegetables, all that. It's just all about ingredients based. I just think it's a really interesting book for a young chef. When you want to learn about ingredients, I think that is definitely.
I tell you, even kids would flick through that
book. Yeah, I agree.
You know, they would. Colourful. They would. It's a nice book.
Clear, not a recipe in sight.
No, not a recipe. There's a crab on the front on top of some kind of tagliatelle or something. And it reminds me, we were down in Wexford, I was telling you, in the ad break at the weekend. And we came in the morning, the smell in the house. I was like, Jesus, what is that? It was a dead crab that one of the kids had pulled off the beach and left on the coffee table in the house. You meant to smell the crab
when it gets
pulled off the sand.
But it's not lovely to see the kids doing that, you know, connecting the food and the crab. Of course
they tried to bring it back in about 10 more times, chase them out, get that bloody crab back out of the grass. Anyway.
You know, my son loves fishing, so he does. You know, Connor, he's 13 and he loves fishing and crab fishing, and it's great.
Oh, yeah. What's his trick for crab fishing?
You're going to laugh.
Go on.
A little bit of bacon in a net.
Yeah.
They go mad.
That's it, yeah. The little net that you get with the purse, with the washing up. Someone told me that as well, and we did it. My kids love it as well. You go down, and he probably does the same. Chuck that in, do your fishing then with the line. Probably catch nothing.
That's it.
And then pull up your little personal washing up liquid thing with the rasher in it, and there'll be about 10 crabs hanging off it.
You have it.
Kids have a ball.
They do. We've been on the Mullock Moor, and it's just lovely down there. It's about 45 minutes from the restaurant, and that's where we
agree. Now, you've got your own book. You can't put your own book up there
now. I wanted to show you this because, you know, I was in with you before, and
look
thanks
at that.
For having me for my own book.
There's a young pup.
I know, 20 books. You know, it took 2 years to write that book. And I remember, like, I done a programme on RT called Open House. And Poolbeg Publishers came to me and said, would you write a book? And I said, God, I wouldn't know how to. So it's just incredible, the journey. But it's just, I suppose, it's the only copy I have and it's filthy, so it is. But it was just great fun. And if you see every single kind of recipe has an image, because that's what makes cookbooks exciting. You say, I want to recreate that. I want to eat that food. I want to enjoy that. And then the book that I read recently, and probably in the last few months, in January, actually, when we were closed, Raymond Blanc, Taste of Life.
Oh, yeah.
Great guy. Again, a chef book, his autobiography. He came from France. He's 75 years of age. He's 2 Michelin stars for 30 years. And I had the pleasure of going once. I went to his cookery school and to his Le Manoir.
Mm.
And I remember going into the rooms. The rooms were amazing. But first thing I learned, and I took back to my own business, was that there was music playing, like something like Lyric FM. It was nice, gentle music.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's nice. That just sets the tone as soon as you go in. I had the pleasure of meeting him, and it was absolutely fantastic. So it was.
Yeah.
Food. The whole experience, stayed there for 2 nights, done the cookery school. Only a small cookery school. I think there was maybe 12, 14 people in it. And it was a dream come true.
Ah, that's nice. Sometimes you should meet your heroes.
I agree. At least one of them.
It's been a real pleasure, Nevin. And thanks a million for coming in to us. A lot of books mentioned there, but we will mention again the book that's going up on the bookshelf, Marco Pierre White's White Heat, with some amazing photography
thanks
as well by Bob Carlos Clark as well. And thanks to Nevin's twin for gifting him that when he was only a trainee chef. Nevin Maguire, the TV chef in the owner of McNean House and Restaurant in Blacklyon. Nevin, a pleasure. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Kieran.